And Chris, would you take the roll?
Councilmember Cardozo.
Here.
Councilmember Christensen.
Here.
Councilmember Larraway.
Here.
Council President McPherson.
Here.
Mayor Steer.
Here. And if you'll join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. First item is the consent agenda. Is there anything anybody wishes to pull off for discussion or questions, comments, motion to approve?
I have one here, but I need to get to it.
Just like on a bill or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Bobby, what'd you spend money on this time?
He knows it's about him.
You know, you could play Duck Duck Goose coming in late like that, Bill.
What's that?
You could play Duck Duck Goose on your way down.
That might not be appreciated. He's got some powers that might take over. I can't find it right now, Mayor, but it was, I've got a note here. Baby back ribs, $74.30. And I'm just curious what the city was buying baby back ribs for.
And not invite you.
And not inviting, I guess.
Me too. I didn't get any. Anybody know?
I missed that one.
Jared.
Jared.
He had a barbecue.
Pause. Take the barbecue off your face first.
Hey, this one wasn't my expense. Anyway, Jared, MPC Treasurer. So I believe that this was a Public Works get together that they did a little while back. So any particulars would have to be asked directly to Public Works. Oh. However, that's the nature of it. So I believe that it was probably, if you look at the dates, I believe that it was probably related to like a Valentine's Day related get together or St. Patrick's Day related get together that the department did. So
I think they had a team building event out there. I don't know if Paul, did you ever get your microphone to work?
Yeah, I'm cheating with the phone.
Oh, okay.
It was a morale boosting event.
A morale boosting event.
I know the we used to have a city Christmas party, and I think we did away with that in fairness to our taxpayers. I don't remember how much was spent, but I believe it was over $100 on that morale boosting. I'm not sure if I approve that city expenses should be spent for city employees like that.
Okay.
I don't know how the others feel, but at least without permission from either the mayor or the council, put it that way.
Well, I knew they were having an event, so I mean, that's as far as I knew, but you are correct. We haven't done that in a long time, so If the council would prefer, we can remove that bill and find different funding to pay for that.
There was another one for Free Ed Properties of $4,839, and it wasn't very explicit what that money was for, Jared. FREUND Properties.
Richard, I think you're talking to me, but I can't hear you.
Councilman Cardozo, Jared MP City Treasurer. So this is the vendor that we pay for IT maintenance. So they make sure that if we have any server maintenance that needs to be done, or if there is any PC maintenance, they also, if we have any tickets that need logged, they resolve those as well on a monthly basis. And that bill is allocated or computed based on number of PCs that we have. So that's where that originates from. Okay. But yeah, good question.
Thank you, Mayor. That was all I had.
Okay. Anything further?
Nope. That was all I had, Mr. President.
Okay.
So we're good with leaving it on there since you know what it's about?
At this time, yes.
Okay. Well, then I would move we approve the consent agenda as published.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve the consent agenda as published. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardozo?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Next is a proclamation in honor of Greg Nelson. Whereas Greg Nelson, DVM, and former mayor of the city of CUNA, was born in 1937 and became a lifelong member of the community in 1965, and we mourn his absence since March 21, 2021. And whereas in Greg's professional life, he has served in the Army Veteran Corps, rising to the rank of full colonel and state-recognized brigadier general. In the Department of Ag, he served as a state veterinarian and director of agriculture. He also served as director of public affairs for the Idaho Farm Bureau and served on the CUNA School Board. And whereas Greg served CUNA community as a school board member, President of the Planning and Zoning Commission, CUNA Council member, 6 terms as a CUNA City Mayor, and a member of the Lions Club, VFW, and CUNA Historical Society. And whereas Greg tirelessly advocated to establish and construct the CUNA Greenbelt, and whereas all citizens are encouraged to reflect upon, honor, emulate the dedicated services to CUNA by Greg Nelson, DVM. Now, therefore, be it resolved that I, Joe Steer, Mayor of the City of CUNA, Idaho, do hereby recognize and proclaim Greg Nelson as a valued member of the City of CUNA. He will be missed. Yes. Next item we have is public hearing. This is case number 2007-ZC rezone and 20-10-S preliminary plat, Paloma Ridge subdivision.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning Staff, 751 West 4th Street. The application before you this evening is proposing to rezone an approximately 113.25 acre parcel with an agriculture zone to a mixed use development with C1 neighborhood commercial, R4 medium density residential, R6 medium density residential, and R8 medium high density residential zoning district classifications. The 113.25 acres will be subdivided into 388 total lots, 341 residential lots, 42 common lots, and 5 commercial lots. The City of Kuna Street Circulation Map proposes a collector roadway through the southern portion of the project. However, it would be required to cross the canal at 2 points. ACHD has recommended that the collector roadway's alignment be shifted to the south to avoid crossing the Kuna Canal at 2 points. Staff agrees with this decision. Following review, staff has determined the rezone and preliminary plat requests are within technical compliance of Kuna City Code, Idaho State Code, and the Kuna Comprehensive Plan. If the council approves the rezone and preliminary plat, staff would recommend the applicant be subject to the conditions of approval listed in Section K of the staff memo, as well as any other additional conditions this decision-making body decides to impose. I will stand by for any questions.
Okay, questions for Doug? All right, none at this time. We have the applicant, Sabrina. Oh, there you are. You may have the floor.
Can you whack the green button and it'll turn red? Now you're on.
Yeah. Mayor, members of the council, hello and good evening. For the record, my name is Sabrina Durchi, and I am here on behalf of the applicant, Toll Southwest LLC. My business address is 3103 West Sherrill Drive, Meridian, Idaho, 83642. And this evening, I'm so excited to be here in person to be able to present to you our applications for Paloma Ridge Subdivision for a rezone and preliminary plat. Doug, you want to change that, please? And over here to the side of me, I have a wonderful team tonight to help me support me in this endeavor. And they might pop in if there's some questions that I might not be able to answer. So I just wanted to let you know. Next slide, please. First, I'd like to tell you a little bit about Toll Brothers. Well, we are an award-winning Fortune 500 company that purchased Coleman Homes back in 2016. And you might be familiar with one of our projects, Sterling Ranch, also known as Winfield Estates. But unlike Sterling Ranch, that was started under Coleman Homes and then finished by Toll Brothers, Paloma Ridge will be the first project in Kuna that will go through entitlements all the way to the last home being built by Toll Brothers. Next slide, please. So let me now welcome you to Paloma Ridge. Paloma Ridge Subdivision is going to be a welcoming community. Situated atop a ridge, this community will offer a special place to call home in the rolling plains of Kuna. This site is located near schools, downtown Kuna, conveniences, and Meridian Road for an easy commute. With the close proximity to the Birds of Prey Conservation Area and the Snake River, the landscape and amenities for Paloma Ridge will incorporate elements such as tall grasses, wood beams, and stone accents to really bring in the natural beauty of the area into our development. Next slide, please. This slide is showing you an overall view of the entire Paloma Ridge development. This includes the west side that I will be presenting to you after this presentation, and both sides will have the same HOA and access to both site amenities. Next slide, Doug, please. So with this mentioned, let's start discussing Paloma Ridge. We are requesting a rezone and a preliminary plat for 113 acres to be subdivided into 341 single-family residential lots, 42 common lots, and 5 commercial lots. And I'd like to thank Doug for all of his hard work. I know he's been really busy and want you to know that we're in full agreement with the staff report this evening. Next slide, please, Doug. Thank you. So let's talk about zoning. This site was already annexed into the City of Kuna and has a mixed use designation within the comprehensive plan. So with this in mind, it was very important with our Toll team to meet with the city to have a collaborative approach to the site design. Before we even had pen to paper, we met with city planning staff, Lisa Holland, your economic development director, to discuss the vision that the City of Kuna has for this property. What was evident during those initial meetings was the importance of having a viable commercial component to the site. After understanding the City of Kuna's vision for the site, we then worked closely with staff and Lisa on several site layouts, requesting feedback along the way until we striked the perfect balance of commercial and residential that we have before you this evening. We determined the best approach to our mixed-use development was having this gradual step down in density. One starting in the pink in the northwest corner is the C1, the neighborhood commercial. We've then stepped down to the two, the R8, which is in gray. This is a higher density residential that really tucks along the commercial perfectly. We then go into the green, which is the R6, and this transitions into our medium density, and then to our R4, our larger estate lots adjacent to the Ada County parcels. Next slide, please. So now let's take a look at each zone individually. We are proposing 6.46 acres of neighborhood commercial in the northwest corner of the site. We have proposed 5 commercial lots within this plat. While we have proposed this commercial, Toll Brothers will not be developing these commercial lots today. Instead, we'll be partnering with other commercial developers to make sure this commercial component in our development is successful. And this will be done at a later time with later hearings and separate applications. But within the slide, you can see a bubble concept that is completely conceptual in nature, but gives you a little taste of the great potential of this commercial component for Paloma Ridge development. Next slide, please. Thank you. Next is our R8. It's our Arbor Collection, and that is in the gray. We are proposing a total of 73 lots with 11.18 acres with an average lot size of 3,900 square feet. And we are so excited to introduce to you the Arbor Collection because this collection was specifically designed for Paloma Ridge. We understanding the importance of how essential housing is to the city of CUNA, we knew we need to find appropriate density building style that would tuck perfectly along our commercial. And we really feel the Arbor Collection hits all those marks with modern design, style, and appropriate density. Next slide, please. We then take another step down into our green. This is our R6 zone, our garden collection. This will consist of 34 acres with 129 lots. The average lot size is 7,132 square feet. Next slide, please. Our garden collection will range from 1,200 to 2,500 square feet in size. And one more slide, please, Doug. Thank you. These homes will offer functional living space and design. And you can see from the interior and exterior slides that, and these are actually from our local homes, some in CUNA. Now let's go, next slide. Thank you, Doug. To our R4, our woodland collection. This zone will have a total of 58.87 acres on a total of 139 lots. The average lot size for these will be 11,680 square feet. Next slide, please. Thank you. The woodland collection will range from around 1,600 square feet to 3,100 square feet. One more, thanks. And this collection specializes in open floor plans and quality craftsmanship. Next slide, thank you, Doug. Phasing and timing for this, we are anticipating build out. We're kind of doing two phases at a time. So phases 1 and 2 will be in 2022, phases 3 and 4 in 2023, phases 5 and 6 in 2024, and 7, 8 in 2025. Next slide, thanks, Doug. So for utilities, for the pressurized irrigation, it's kind of odd, we're surrounded by canals of water, but we don't have any surface water rights available to the site. So we're gonna have to utilize an existing well, and this will be owned, the PI system will be owned and maintained by the RHOA. There's an existing water line in Linder Street, and for sewer, we will be serviced by the Spring Hill Lift Station, which has adequate capacity to serve our entire development. And as for ACHD and ITD, we're in full agreement with their findings and requirements. Next slide, thank you, Doug. So let's talk about qualified open space. Within each community that Toll Brothers builds, open usable space is extremely important. It sets our foundations for our community's amenities, pathways, and interconnectivity that really makes our community special. Here in Paloma Ridge, we have designated 13.32 acres that equates to 12.11% open space for our community. And this can be seen in our main common park, pocket parks, our common area, interior trail connection points, and the public trail system along the southern and eastern boundary of the site. Next slide, thank you. Next, this slide shows you our pathway trail system, and walkability will be a priority within Paloma Ridge. In the red is the regional pathways, The blue is our interior HOA pathways that kind of interconnect to all the main amenities that I'll be getting to soon. And in yellow are our detached sidewalks that we have in all of our developments, in Toll Brothers developments. So one more slide, thank you. Now I leave the best for last. This is the good stuff, because this is our amazing amenity package. And within our package for Paloma, we have pathways, a pool house, main playground, pickleball court, pocket parks, benches along our pathways, and usable active open space. Next, please. Here's a rendering of what the pool is going to look like, and it's very similar to what's at Sterling Ranch. And I heard that this pool kind of got some rave reviews from some of the City of CUNA employees. Next slide, please. Here is a covered picnic area that we're going to have in our main amenity area. Nice area for families to gather, get out of the sun, watch their children play. Next slide. A pickleball court. I've never played pickleball. I heard it's very popular. We'll be providing that in our main amenity area. Next slide, please. Another one of our playground. And one thing that's really important to note is that within phase one, our main amenity is always built. We want to have access for our residents to the amazing amenities from day one in our developments. Oh, if I can just get a few seconds to summarize, please. Next slide.
Okay.
I'm almost done, I promise. Here's our pool. That's of our pocket park in the southern portion. And one more of the pool because it's gorgeous. And then to summarize, just real quick, we feel like Paloma Ridge is going to be an outstanding community. Our goal was really to foster a partnership with the city by working together on our site design from the very beginning to ensure it captured the City of CUNA's vision for this area. We feel like our step-down approach and density thoughtfully fits in perfectly with the surrounding area and provides a right mix of land uses to complement your comp plan. And we're adding great housing diversity options, such as the Arbor Collection that I've noted was designed for Paloma Ridge. So we truly feel the development is providing all the key ingredients to a perfect recipe, and I truly think it doesn't get much better than this. And with that, I'll thank you for the pleasure of your time, your thoughtful consideration, and respectively request approval of our applications this evening. Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
This is a public hearing. I didn't have anyone sign up to testify. Is there anybody who wishes to testify in this matter who didn't get a chance to sign up? Okay. Council, questions for staff or the presenter?
If I might.
Mayor. Yes, you may.
Looking at something like this, I'm always curious about the sidewalks that surround the subdivision, because we are looking at 50 mile an hour roads. We're looking at a school right there. And you talk about, you know, the desire to be close to downtown, the accessibility. And so I just want to know if you could speak on the external surroundings of the neighborhood a little bit, sidewalks, things like that.
Sure, Council Member. Yes, as far as sidewalks, we are required by ACHD to provide right-of-way on Linder and Columbia Road. And within the right-of-way, we're required to make improvements. And that is curb and gutter that the City of CUNA has requested that we place, that we are going to be installing, as well as sidewalks. So we'll have sidewalks on the exterior on Linder and Columbia Roads, but also in the interior. As I mentioned, we'll have detached sidewalks within our community, and then we'll have pathways that are going to interconnect to the commercial, to the amenities, so that there's a great walkability. We also realize there's a high school to the north of us that we really want to provide safe routes for kids, and that's why we are providing the trail, the public trail system that we're going to be dedicating. So really, from the exterior to the interior, we're going to have great connectivity and sidewalks throughout the development. Does that help answer your question?
No, it does. I'd like them to elaborate a little bit, you to elaborate, and that was great. So
I'm happy to, sure.
And then while you're there.
Yes.
So when you were talking about commercial,
mm-hmm.
You're talking about commercial residential, right? You're not talking about commercial.
Mayor, yes, it's actually neighborhood commercial.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
Right.
Not, yes.
It was a little confusing because you were talking about speaking to our economic development director.
We did, yes.
And then commercial. So that makes it appear that you're talking about commercial, whereas you're actually talking about residential commercials.
Correct. It is neighborhood. It's C1 neighborhood commercial. Correct. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Cardoza.
Quick question. The commercial is scheduled about 4 years out.
You know, let me, do you know when the commercial is scheduled? We really don't have a council member. I don't know if we really have a schedule yet for the commercial. We're not going to be developing the commercial. We'll be partnering up with commercial developers. Toll Brothers really does residential. So we will not be developing the commercial. And so I don't really have a timeline on when that would be. Looks like Adam might come up here and have a better answer. Sure.
Adam Cabell, Toll Brothers, address 3103 West Sherrill Drive. Generally, the commercial is going to be developed towards the later end of the development because the rooftops are really going to drive the need for that commercial component.
Before you leave, my question is, if that is going to be late in the development, is it going to be put in the sod in the meanwhile, or is it just going to be natural grass, weeds?
Generally, we'll maintain it well. We're actually talking about putting in the perimeter landscaping so that from the street, it's appealing. It's not, you know, just a patch of weeds, and there'll be a little berm. So generally, that commercial area may be hidden by some landscaping that gets put in with the earlier phases.
Okay. Thank you.
Good. Yes. Councilmember Larraway.
I'm not a developmental type, but I do have a question. Why would we not go ahead and call C1 what it is? Why don't we just build it out and put apartments there now? I mean, why leave it blank?
Mayor, Councilmember, so again, when we originally met with the city really wanted mixed use, and they really wanted commercial at that corridor. And I know Lisa is online, but maybe she can speak a little bit more to, but they really, the vision is, do I need to hit this button?
No, you're good.
Oh, it's red. And so that's why the commercial component is in our application. Again, Toll Brothers are, we're residential builders, but we are willing to partner up, and they'll be sold as commercial lots. So it's not going to be apartments. It will actually be commercial uses. That is the vision that the city has, to really have mixed use, to have commercial walkability. And it's not, it's more neighborhood commercial. It's going to complement the neighborhood. So it'll have, I know that they've been talking to maybe some schools, some other smaller venues that would be appropriate to be adjacent to residential. But it, as far as I'm aware, it will not be apartments. It will be true commercial.
Townhouses.
No. No townhouses.
Councilman Larraway. For the record, Doug Hansen, Keener Planning and Zoning Staff. Residential isn't permitted in C1 zone. Multifamily is not permitted within a C1 zone, so you wouldn't ever see apartments there.
Okay. I guess I expected, when I saw the C1, I guess I expected businesses.
And I think that's kind of what it'll be catering
storefronts.
To. Yes, okay. Absolutely. Yep.
Okay.
So it'll be a true mixed use with commercial and residential. Okay. So, right. Yes.
Great. Got me. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Mayor, I'm happy to expand on that if you'd like me to as well. This is Lisa.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
Lisa Hall, an economic development director here. If you want me to expand on our conversations, I'm more than happy to.
Does council want to hear any? I think we're.
Yeah, she answered my question.
I think we clarified it. Okay. So thank you, Lisa. Thanks. And I'm also glad to see that. So they put in the stoplight there at Linder and Columbia, and that intersection is so tight that you can't hardly get around it with a trailer. So I'm glad to see that they've added in the right of way for their eventual roundabout mm-hmm. they plan to put there. So they've preserved that right of way. So that's a good thing. ACHD, I mean. Bill, I have a question, legal question. I don't know if you have looked this over, but ITD mentions in there that they want us to collect the proportionate share, and they've listed that out as even number of residents and dollar amounts for that. Have we ever clarified with them? I know our initial discussions with ITD was that it appeared to look like an impact fee that we couldn't legally collect. So I didn't know if that had gone somewhere I was unaware of or.
Mr. Mayor, with your permission, members of the council, this issue I think came before us where they proposed some kind of agreement that would be entered into, and I think they may have done it with other cities. I looked at that agreement, and I think my advice to you and the council was it's an impact fee. It is not, we cannot do that in the manner that they did, and my recommendation, it wouldn't be legal for us to pursue that. So in my opinion, they can make that request, but we've never entered into any agreement. And when the provisions that they included in the agreement, as I remember, look clearly are development impact fees, and we didn't have all of the legal actions that needed to be done in order to establish that with capital improvement plans and all the things the development impact fee law requires, and they didn't pursue it. And so, to my knowledge, we have no agreement with them to collect any such fees, and I wouldn't recommend that we do it, which I'm sure would be a great disappointment to the developer, but I'm kidding. But that's where I see that particular matter, and they never pursued it with us. And I don't know how they're doing it with other cities. It amazes me.
Well, and that, so that's the reason I bring that up, is I didn't think we had gotten to a point. I mean, I think we said that if they felt that they had the legal ability to, they could require that, but we wouldn't be wanting to collect those fees when we don't think we can legally do that. So that's where I thought we had left that, but then I saw it's actually on page 169 of this, of the packet. They've actually got it drilled right down to dollar amounts, $249,557. So I don't know how we do that when we don't think we can legally do that.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, if they feel that they legally can collect it from the developer on their own, then I would say they need to pursue that. But my recommendation would be that the council not include it as a condition of development of our approval, because I am not aware that we have any legal right, and I'm not aware, and I don't know, and I haven't communicated with the staff on this, whether we're including that as a recommended condition of development. Doug can advise whether or not it is in the staff report or not. But in my opinion, development impact fees are governed under Chapter 82 of Title 67 of the Idaho Code, and there's very specific provisions that have to be followed. And there is a provision for some intergovernmental agreements to be made with entities that can do impact fees. And the only ones that can do impact fees are cities, counties, and a countywide highway district. And it has to be done with an intergovernmental agreement. There has to be an advisory committee. There has to be a capital improvement plan. The capital improvement plan has to be included in the comprehensive plan of the city and approved, as well as there has to be an ordinance that would impose an impact fee, and a capital improvement plan approved in an intergovernmental agreement with the Idaho Transportation Department. We have none of those. And so my recommendation is that wouldn't be a condition of our approval. If they feel that they can impose it on their own, then I guess they this might be through some kind of permit to access the state highway or whatever. I don't know what it is, but and Doug may clarify if it's a condition of requested approval here. as to what the basis is.
Well, let me just read you the what I saw here. It says the trips generated by your development adds congestion to State Highway 69. ITD is working with the city of CUNA to collect proportionate share contribution from each new development for impacts to the state highway system. The city of CUNA shall include the recommended proportionate share amount into their development agreement with you, and ITD shall collect the funds. As the two agencies, we will work together to accelerate highway construction on State Highway 69. That's more than that and a little before that, but that's kind of the gist of it. So,
Mr. Merritt,
yes.
Members of the council, whatever agreement they are claiming they have with the city, I'm not aware it exists. Unless you are or the staff does, because there's not been any final agreement that's ever been run through me for advice, other than the one I think you provided to me, and you got received my comments on that, and I think you communicated those back to ITD, and we haven't really had any other follow-up from that, to my knowledge, of any significance. And yeah, they never sent us any legal information as to why we would have the legal right to do it without following the full impact fee process.
Yeah, you and I had actually had an email discussion with them, and that's where it left off, and I hadn't heard anything else. So, Doug, if you have something else on that.
Yeah. For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning staff, this is not included as a condition of approval in the staff report. Okay, just for extra clarification.
So what would be your recommendation going forward? Do we contact ITD again and begin this conversation again? Or, I mean, as far as I know, the last thing we asked was that they show us how that they can do that legally. And if we can do that legally, we'll be happy to do that for them. And then I don't believe we ever heard back. So I don't know if we do follow up on that or if we just leave it where it's at. What's your thoughts?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, I have an opinion about that.
Okay.
And my opinion is that an applicant by law has the right to the process of their application as it is through our own city ordinances at the time they make the application. At this point, we have no ordinance in place that would impose an impact fee for ITD. In my opinion, it is not something that we can do, and my opinion is that the request of ITD is a matter that they have to take up with the developer alone, and it is not something that I would recommend we include as a condition of approval of this development.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I might add, I've had a lot of experience with development impact fees, as you probably know.
Yeah, that's a process to get there, and we haven't had a process.
No, and it doesn't provide for anything specific for ITD. It does mention ITD may be included in a intergovernmental agreement, just like we've done with the fire district, just like you could do with, there's certain entities under 67-8204A that we can enter into intergovernmental agreements. And if they're listed in there, which ITD is, then we can do it. But we have to go through the entire process,
right,
of establishing an ordinance, recognizing a capital improvement plan, in order to do it. I don't know why they're pursuing this with other cities, and I don't know why other cities are doing it. I don't represent them. That's their issue. But that is my opinion as your city attorney.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, now that I got that out of there, is there any further comment? And then, so I'll ask again, this is a public hearing, so was there anybody who didn't get a chance to sign up to testify that wanted to? All right, seeing none, this is rightfully before council. I think one thing I would like to do, we have had a couple of issues in the past with amenities that end up being held hostage to the city. So I think if it is in the, if council wants to approve this, I think I would like to add as a condition of approval to include the things that were in the presentation that we saw tonight. That's the problem we've had, is if it's not part of the approval process, then they wouldn't have to build a pool eventually if they decided they didn't want to. So I think just for clarification, I think that's probably the safest, best way to do that.
So. Richard, do you have anything?
Yeah, this is kind of directed towards PNC. Under staff analysis on page 3 of 10, if you go down to the fourth paragraph, about 3/4 of the way down, it addresses staff would recommend that South Linder Road be improved with vertical curb gutter, detached sidewalk installed with accordance of KCC 5-5-17-13 and 642. Previous to that, I think you were talking about Columbia, and above that, South Linder, you're asking for improved vertical curb gutter and sidewalk, and it looks like you're asking for it twice. But I think the second one is probably addressing Columbia Road, and I'm not sure if the conditions of approval address each road individually and collectively. I have a feeling where it says Linder Road the second time should be Columbia Road, I would assume, because prior to that in the sentence, you're addressing Columbia Road as listed as an east-west minor arterial on the city street circulation map. If that's written the same way under conditions of approval, we may be leaving out the street for the the gutter curb under conditions of approval.
So it is, are you referring to where staff would recommend that South Linder Road be improved with vertical curb gutter and detached sidewalk installed in accordance with KCC 5-17-13 and 642, and that the applicant is also proposing improvements to West Columbia Road, and Columbia Road is listed as an east-west minor arterial?
Right.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So the third time when South Linder is listed, that should say Columbia Road. But in the conditions of approval, it's required that all roads be improved to CUNA City Code standards as well as ACHD policy. So the roadways won't be specifically addressed in the conditions, just that all roadways are brought up to KCC standards as well as ACHD policy.
It doesn't have to be specifically.
Correct.
In looking at this, I see about 10,000 feet of public trails and HOA pathway. I'm very impressed with that. I'm impressed with the pools. The other thing that I'm impressed with is 13 acres of open space. I do like that. I like the open space more and more for the city. So I thank you on that. So, thank you, Mayor.
Yes, you bet. Okay. Yes.
I like to add that the subdivision in itself is, I like what they did with this. That was part of the conversation we had during that envision CUNA, was getting subdivisions in here that weren't all R6. Because theoretically, somebody could move from R6 into the R4 when things got better in their life and they don't have to leave CUNA. So there's options for, and that's what I really like about the subdivision. I think it opens it up and gives people a better chance to stay in CUNA and buy a bigger place if they have to.
Good point.
One question, did anyone address the neighbor that lands his airplane there all the time? No, I kid. But he really does. You know that, right?
I might.
Okay.
Might not.
It's across the canal. It's fine. I don't have any problems with it. It looks great. The pathways, the open space, like they've already addressed. You know, the pools are getting to be a popular thing out here. No one in CUNA used to ever have a pool. Now we have dozens of them. So it looks good.
There, and I apologize. This just, it came back to me. But Doug, this might be rhetorical as it's not in here, but did we not hear back from CUNA School District? Because I know when we start looking at subdivisions, you know, of 300 home subdivisions, it really does impact the population of the schools that are already getting close to capacity. So I'm not sure if they even reached out or asked any comment or wanted to, or.
Councilman Christensen, for the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning staff. The CUNA School District was notified of the application through the transmittal process, but they did not provide a response.
Okay, thank you, Doug.
Okay. Well, if there's nothing further, then I would move we close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
We have a second?
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries.
Okay, then I would move we approve case number 20-07ZC and 20-10S for Paloma Ridge to include the condition in the conditions of approval that all the amenities as presented are built out.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case number 20-07ZC rezone 20-10-S preliminary plat. And as part of the conditions of approval, include all the things in the presentation. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. And that brings us to item B, case numbers 20-08ZC rezone and 20-10-S preliminary plat, Paloma Ridge West, on the other side of the street.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, for the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning staff, 751 West 4th Street. This application before you this evening is proposing to rezone an approximately 22-acre parcel from an agriculture to an R6 medium density residential zone. The 22 acres will be subdivided into 91 total lots, 78 residential lots, 12 common lots, and one shared driveway. The CUNA Rural Fire District requires that a subdivision 30 homes or greater has two public accesses. The applicant has expressed the intention of utilizing the stub street identified on the preliminary plat as West Hodor Street as its secondary access connecting to phase 6 of the Silver Trail subdivision upon its construction. Staff has added the condition that the applicant come to an agreement with the CUNA Rural Fire District that the proposed subdivision will not construct more than 30 homes until the stub street identified on the preliminary plat as West Hodor Street from phase 6 of the Silver Trail subdivision is available for connection. Following review, staff has determined the rezone and preliminary plat requests are within technical compliance of CUNA City Code, Idaho State Code, and the CUNA Comprehensive Plan. If the council recommends approval for the rezone and preliminary plat and approves the rezone and preliminary plat, staff would recommend that the applicant be subject to the conditions of approval listed in section K of your staff memo, as well as any other additional conditions the decision-making body would like to impose. I will stand by for any questions.
Okay, questions for Doug? All right. And Sabrina, you're up again.
It's me again. Mayor, members of the council, hello again. For the record, my name is Sabrina Durchie. My business address is 3103 West Sherrill Drive, Reading, Idaho 83642. And I'm here excited to present to you the West Side, the Paloma Ridge West subdivision for rezone and preliminary plat. Oh, keep going, Doug. There we go. Stop right there. Perfect. So let's go across the street from Paloma Ridge and let me welcome you to Paloma Ridge West. I kind of like to refer to the West Side as the little sister to Paloma Ridge. She's smaller in size, but she is just as cool as her big sister. And Paloma Ridge West will embody all the thoughtful elements and design as her big sister. And these two projects will harmoniously fit together with matching transitional zoning and style. Doug, please. Thank you. Here again is the overview of the two developments and how they will transition and blend in perfectly together. Great. Thank you, Doug. For the project, we're requesting again a rezone and preliminary plat for 22 acres to be subdivided into 78 single family residential lots and 12 common lots. We plan to take ingress egress from Linder Road and we'll offer several stub road locations to out parcels and connect to the approved Silver Trail subdivision that is west of our site. And again, I want to thank Doug for all of his help and that we're in full agreement with their staff's findings. Next slide, please. Thank you, Doug. So here's the rezone request. The site has already been annexed into the city of CUNA limits, and after thoughtful review of the existing surrounding area and looking at the R6 that we have in Paloma Ridge, we felt the best overall fit for the two projects would be a continuation of the R6 zone. The proposed zoning also matches the approved Silver Trail, which is west of our site, which is also R6. So it'll be a continuation from Silver Trail, Paloma West, then onto Paloma Ridge. Next slide, thank you. This zone will consist of 78 lots. It will be our garden collection, and the average lot size will be 9,854 square feet. And I believe some of those homes are actually in CUNA. Those are at Sterling Ranch. Next slide. These homes will embody traditional craftsman style architecture and spacious open floor plans. And again, next slide, thank you. They will range in square footage from 1,200 to 2,500 square feet. Next, phasing and timing. We'll be doing these phases 1 and 2 together. We'll start in 2022. Next slide. Thank you, Doug. And again, very similar to across the street, we do not have any surface water rights. We're going to have to utilize a well on this site as well. It's going to be owned and maintained by the HOA. Existing waters in Linder Street, and we will be connecting to the Spring Hill lift station, which has adequate capacity, and they'll connect across the street to Paloma Ridge. And we're in full agreement with ACHD's requirements as well as ITD's. Next slide, thank you. Our qualified open space has been designated as 1.84 acres, which equates to 8.4% open space for this community. And this can be seen in the main common area, interior pathway connection points. And what's not included in the percentage are the detached sidewalks that we have that I noted for across the street that, you know, provide beautifully landscaped street corridors throughout this development. Next slide. Thank you, Doug. So I did another pathway trails exhibit. This one shows the blue, the HOA pathways that kind of interconnect throughout the development. And especially to the main common area, as well as the yellow, the detached sidewalks. And the next slide, thanks, Doug, is the amenities. We'll have landscape pathways, the main playground, benches, and really usable active open space. But one thing is that since this project really is one project, it'll have the same HOA, they will have access to all the amenities on the other side as well. And Doug can quickly breeze through those, but those are the same amenity pictures that I already showed you of the pool, playground, covered park, picnic area, pickleball court and our playground, the pool, and that's it. And so just to quickly summarize, we feel it's going to be an outstanding community. It's going to be a great addition to the development across the street, her big sister. And we feel that overall this development will hit all the marks for the city of CUNA's goals for the area, will be a desirable, livable community for the city of CUNA. And on that, gentlemen, I would like to thank you for the pleasure of your time again, your thoughtful consideration, and respectively request one more time approval of our applications. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Questions?
Yes.
Yes.
While you're up there, since you're tying the two subdivisions together, mm-hmm. and Linder's going to be the break, mm-hmm. and you have some responsibility for the Linder Road improvement, is it feasible to ask for a crosswalk mm-hmm. for kids? Because you know kids are going to be going to that swimming pool.
Yes, yes. Mayor, council member, we had anticipated this, and we understand the importance of safe crossings for our residents, especially to all of our main amenities. At this time, though, ACHD was not able to approve a crosswalk. I did request it. And what they really need is that they have to have the rooftops there. They have to have the homes physically there before they can really warrant a crosswalk as needed. And so currently we're providing improved frontages along west and east side of Linder Road with sidewalk. We're going to have parking available across the street at our main amenity, as well as it's going to provide a crosswalk. There's also a crosswalk located at the intersection of Linder and Columbia Road. And ACHD reminded me of that. So I think that what we're able to commit is that once the rooftops have been built, we will revisit because we understand the importance, and we initially asked at the beginning before I'd even submitted this, that we will revisit it, and hopefully at that time they'll be willing to approve a sidewalk at that location, and we'll build it at our expense as well. So you're welcome. Thank you for asking.
That is a good question. It almost seems like a hawk light would be.
That's expensive.
Well, I know. I mean, but you wouldn't do that later.
No,
or you would never do it.
Those things are about $350,000. I agree with the mayor. Mm-hmm. It'd be a perfect scenario, but mm-hmm. I don't know what ACHD is willing to help.
See that whole thing about crossing the street and it's mm-hmm. your fault.
I know. I just zip. No, I figured this would be a concern. And again, safe crossing is very important for us. And so we were really proactive. We reached out to ACHD and we understand they were like, there's nothing there right now. How can you warrant a crosswalk right at this moment? So it makes sense. You just have to have the rooftop. So
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Further question? All right, this is a public hearing, and again, I didn't have anybody to sign up to testify in this matter. Is there anyone who wishes to testify that didn't get a chance to sign in? All right, seeing none, the question is rightfully before council.
Richard, you're pondering something.
No, I'm fine. I was having trouble with my computer.
Imagine that. Of course, she does.
Yes, Mr. Gigray.
Mayor, members of the council, just a question. Did ITD make the same request for this application that they did in the other? And if they did, for the record, I'm willing to say that the opinion I just rendered in the prior hearing, I would render again. It's not in there?
I didn't see it in there.
For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning Staff. ITD did not provide comment on this application.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good morning.
I am.
I like it. Okay. Then.
I think we make the same condition on amenities.
Mm-hmm. Then I would move we close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation. Is there any further discussion?
No, sir.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries.
Okay, then I would move we approve case number 20-08ZC and 20-10S preliminary plat with the condition of approval that includes all amenities be built out as presented.
I'll second.
All right, motion is to approve case number 20-08ZC rezone 20-10-S preliminary plat for Paloma Ridge West, and to include as a condition of approval all the things in the presentation. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? And that motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, and that leads us to the third reading of ordinance number 2021-06. We have updated section 3-10-1 on license requirements. An ordinance of the City Council of the City of CUNA, amending Title III CUNA City Code by the addition thereto of a new Chapter 10, providing for daycare licensure, requiring a daycare license, adopting state code definitions, provide for types of daycare licenses and fees, providing for license application investigation, license term, city clerk issuance, denial and revocation, providing for license application denial appeals to the City Council, order to show cause hearings before the City Council for license revocations, declaring it unlawful to engage or conduct or operation of a daycare without a license, and establishing a punishment, directing the city clerk, and providing an effective date.
Okay. Well, so third reading, I guess, then I would move we approve ordinance number 2021-06.
I'll second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve ordinance 2021-06. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza? Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Larraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. And summary public.
Oh, yes. Then I would move we approve summary publication of ordinance 2021-06.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve a summary publication of ordinance 2021-06. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Is there any opposed? That motion carries. And that's all we had on the agenda for tonight. Mayor, council announcements. Is there anything anybody wishes to announce?
Mayor?
Yes.
If I could, I'd like Bill, if he could, to cover Senate Bill 1111. You know what's going on it.
Now it's dash AA at the end of that one.
Okay. City elections.
I can give an update if you're not.
Yeah, I think I'll defer to you because I'm not sure what the last action is and I haven't checked today.
So they sent that through rather quickly. We had a call to the governor today to appeal to him to veto that if it makes it to his desk. It hasn't gone through the Senate yet. The House just pumped it through. What it does, let's see if I can get most everything. What it does is it will move election years from odd years to even years so that all elections come on even years. It will make city council positions partisan. As it is now, you can let people know if you're a Republican or a Democrat, if you wish, or Libertarian, whatever. But this will then bring us into the same type of elections as county commissioners and everything else. The other thing it will do is, well, there's a lot that's not clear within the bill. It doesn't specifically list mayors in there. So although all the elections are going to be in the even year, so it would make sense the mayor's going to be there too, it doesn't really specify that. The other thing it doesn't do is it doesn't talk about if you're running as a Republican and another one is running as a Democrat, now are we going to have primaries for city council elections? There's a lot that's not clear. There's a lot that are problems in there. So again, it's another attempt, I think, at doing whatever they want to do to cities. I don't know where the battle came from that cities became an enemy, and but we're reaching out to our senators to ask them to vote no on that. If they want to do something different, that's fine, but they ought to at least include us in the conversation. This whole thing, we were talking about it at 8 o'clock in the morning Monday, and by noon it had passed through the House. And so there was no inclusion. It's like it was a backdoor deal that somebody agreed on, and off it went, and it went through the House. So I don't know what they're trying to do there. I'm sure that if we had closed door meetings and discussed things, that wouldn't go over well with them, but apparently that's not the way they want to play games. So I don't know. My one of my main concerns with moving all the elections to an even year and not leaving it in the odd years like it is, other than the confusion it will create for a while, is it just muddies the waters. I mean, you people have a real hard time doing what it takes to research and find out who the people are that are running for office, and trying to make that all make sense. And so then when you take all the local elections and move them in with the every 4 years, it'd be a presidential race, and then congressional races and state races, you know, your ballot's going to be really long, and people aren't frankly going to take the time to go through and figure out all. So you're going to get more people to vote because that's what happens in the presidential elections. But I don't think you're going to get people voting that have really researched and and figured out what they're voting on. So it's very uncomfortable to I think there's a lot of things it's going to do. This is the one that originally started out with the intent of large cities, 100,000 and more, have to district for council members. The large cities have already agreed to do that without any legislation, so that issue is resolved. Nampa, Boise, and Meridian all are included in that. So, and it kind of messes things up there too, because if you district things like it's like fire district does with fire commissioners. Eventually it'll be a good thing, but off the bat it's going to be disruptive, because now all of a sudden people that were qualified to be there aren't anymore. And I know it's just bad legislation. It's just something they shouldn't be doing without giving it some thought. So does that answer any of that? I'm sure there's aspects there that I didn't cover, but
it's pretty much what I felt about it. I take offense that the state wants to control the cities that much, is what I took offense to. I mean, they have enough problems at the state level. Why are they stepping down onto the city itself? It's worked for 100 years. Why are they looking to change something that works?
Right.
You don't take your car in because it's working, right? You take it in because it's fixed. And I take offense to the state wanting to dictate to a small city like City our election procedures. Thank you, Bill.
No, I do have a comment, but I thought the mayor was able to kind of give you more up to speed than I was.
That was about 10 o'clock this morning, yeah, so.
This is my editorial, okay? I have worked with local government since my dad sent me to the Wilder Rural Fire District meetings in about 1973. And I've worked with all kinds of them. One of the things that I think is one of the great blessings about local government that I think is the primary provider of services that make your quality of life what it is the fact that party politics have never had any inroads in local government. There, and I know the mayor's been through this, I have been through this, I have known that I have had commissioners, I've had council persons, I've had directors with different political party leanings. You know, maybe they're not outright campaigners, but by gosh, they know what the needs of what they're supposed to do in local government are, and it's never an issue. I have hardly ever seen it as an issue in local government. But when you watch at the county level, when you watch at the state level, and when you watch at the federal level, tell me, when they ask any of those representatives what needs to be done, the question usually is, well, what do the Democrats think about this? Or what are the Republicans positioned by this? And so the party ends up, or its direction, kind of controlling how people have to posture what they're going to do, and it just infuses it into any decision making. You're not shackled with that. You can have your own political views. I've seen it over and over again. But when you come to this table, you're council members, you do the city's business as it's to be done, and all this party stuff doesn't get in the way. It does, you see it to some degree get in the way at the county level, and it really gets in the way. One of the commissioners for North Ada County Fire and Rescue worked in the State House. He worked there, and he was the fiscal director of NAPA for a while and so on in the 80s. He says the temperament over there now is just, they're not friends, you know, and I've heard it, I've been over there. Well, the deans are voting for this, so I'm not going to vote for that. I mean, it just gets in the way. And I think when they want to move local government elections for cities along with the party elections, they want it full-fledged party affiliation. And in my mind, that could be one of the greatest travesties that we'll ever see at the local government level. I just see an attempt of total control. And parties are going to run everything. And that doesn't ever get in the way here. I don't think it's ever gotten in the way, to my knowledge, at the fire district meetings or any meeting I've ever attended. And that's the thing I think is the absolute worst about this bill. And I don't know that the public understands how devastating that could be. Not that I have an opinion.
And we still don't know what's coming forth with the property tax. I know they're going to hammer something. They may hammer it through just like they did this one. So I don't know what they're doing up there. But I think if they can beat us in the head with a stick, that's what they want to do. And I don't understand it. We've never had that issue before. We've always been able to work with the legislature and have discussions and talk about things. But apparently that's not the way we do things anymore. So anyway, did anybody have anything else? All right, meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.